الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأنتم على موعد مع محاضرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع زوجاته.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, so you are on an appointment. And this class here is a lecture. This class here is a lecture about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and dealing with his wives. رضي الله عنهن.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الميزان لمعرفة الحق ومعرفة الباطل.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the scale in order to know the truth and to know the falsehood.
فما وافق فعله سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو الحق.
So whatever is in accordance with his actions, with his sunnah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it's the truth.
وما خالف سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو الباطل.
And that which is contrary in opposition to his sunnah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it's falsehood.
وهذا في جميع الأبواب.
And this is from all aspects.
في الاعتقاد.
In creed.
في الآداب.
In manners.
في المعاملات.
In dealings.
هكذا تمدح الأفعال.
In this manner, the actions are considered praiseworthy.
بالنظر إلى أكمل الناس خلقا.
By looking to the
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The one who has the most perfect manners صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لأن الله عز وجل وصفه بذلك.
Because Allah has described him with this.
وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم.
The meaning of the verse, indeed you are upon a high and lofty standard of manners.
وقد قال سبحانه وتعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة.
And Allah, he said, the meaning of which is, and indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah a good role model.
لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر.
For those who have high hopes in Allah and at home in the hereafter.
ومن هذه الأمور النظر إلى ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته.
And from these affairs is to ponder and to look at that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he was upon in his dealings in his home.
وقد اجتهد الصحابة رضي الله عنهم على سؤال زوجاته رضي الله عنهن.
And the companions رضي الله عنهم, they were diligent to strive and ask of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته.
How did he act whenever he was in his home.
وهذا يدلنا على حرصهم رضي الله عنهم.
This shows us their diligence رضي الله عنهم.
وعلى بحثهم عن العلم.
And their great effort to search and seek knowledge.
ويعلمون أن خير الهدي هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And they know with certainty that the best guidance is the guidance of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وعلى هذا بإذن الله تعالى المشايخ الأفاضل قد قسمت لهم موضوعات عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مع زوجاته. ونبدأ بأخينا الشيخ خليف حفظه الله تعالى في تواضع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع زوجاته.
Based upon this topic, the issues have been distributed amongst the mashayikh, and Sheikh Khalif is the first one to speak. حفظه الله.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. أما بعد. In Sahih al-Bukhari, also in Sahih Muslim, from the Tabi'i, Al-Aswad ibn Yazid, rahimahullah, said, سألتُ عائشة رضي الله عنها ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصنع في بيتي. This Tabi'i asked the mother of the believers, عائشة رضي الله عنها, what the Prophet of Allah used to do in his house. قالت كان يكون في مهنة أهله, تعني خدمة أهله. فإذا حضرت الصلاة خرج إلى الصلاة. She said he used to keep himself busy serving his family, and when it's a time of prayer, he used to go to the prayer. Meaning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his house, he used to serve his family. And when he go, when it's the time of prayer, خرج إلى الصلاة, he go to the prayer. In here, the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for serving his wife is. And he is, who is he? The best of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who was sent not only to all mankind, but also to the jinn. The leader of his state, the husband of 9 wives. He had so many responsibilities, yet he had time to serve his wives. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people, let alone serving their wives, even their wives cannot question them. They cannot present their concern with them. They cannot discuss with them. Some of the men feel offended if their wife questioned them. And here we learn that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to treat his wives this noble way. From that, serving them, alayhi salatu wassalam. Next hadith is also a hadith collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. أنكر عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه على زوجته رد كلامه إليه فقالت له فوالله إن أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يراجعنه وتهجره إحداهن اليوم إلى الليل. عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه denied that his wife respond, how she respond to his words, meaning she didn't accept right away. He didn't like that. Then she said, فَوَاللَّهِ by Allah, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what do they do? Would argue with him alayhi wasallam. Meaning, will have something to say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only that, what she said, وَتَهْجُرُهُ إِحْدَاهُنَّ الْيَوْمَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And one of them, what she does, she may avoid the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam from morning to the night. Avoid. Tahjur. She make hajjir on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From morning to the night. Because she is angry with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard that, he's surprised. So he went to his daughter Hafsa, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked, قال فانطلقت فدخلت على حفصة فقلت أتراجعين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I said, are you make muraja'ah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or
ask him again?
You're making the word easy. Yes. Meaning she discussed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She talk. He say something, she say something.
Give her opinion.
Yes, give her opinion. Give her opinion. Okay. Not only that, she said, قالت نعم وتهجره إحدانا اليوم إلى الليل. And one of us may ignore him from day to night. If the translation is correct, means this is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was humble. How he used to be kind and ease and gentle with his wives. Not only that, they don't accept right away what he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what should have been, should be. But they also avoid him from morning to a day, to a night. How many of us brothers, those who married, this is the way his wife treats him, but yet he's patient with them. He doesn't make a case. Your wife avoid you from morning to the night. This is who our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, while he is Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. In another hadith,
وإن كان
نعم أهلا شيخ
احنا ذكرنا بأنه يكون أيضا اشتراك في الكلام وإن كان هذا خطأ منهن رضي الله عنهن وهن يعني بشر ويخطئنا ولكن فيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحمل ذلك من زوجاته
The Sheikh commented, Hafidhah Allah, that any the reality of this is that that's a mistake from the from those wives, radiallahu anhunna. But the point is now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would bury that in a nice and gentle and good manner.
كما قال الله عز وجل ولا تنسوا الفضل بينكم.
Like Allah, he says, do not forget the virtue amongst you, between yourselves.
يعني لو جاءت بخطأ واحد ما يهدم كل حسناتها.
And meaning if the woman she comes with one mistake, he will not forget all of her good deeds that she has and the good qualities.
ولعل يعني الشيخ أيضا يذكر لنا حديث حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذلك في يعني في أن البغض لا يكون من كل وجه.
لا 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 لا. أحسنتم شيخ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Means a believer shouldn't dislike a believing woman, means his wife, because if he dislikes her with something, he will like her in something. So if your wife has shortcoming and she must have it, then you need to consider the other good things she has it. The other good things she has it. Not you only look her shortcoming. Yes, she has shortcoming, but alhamdulillah, how many good things she has it. Consider those things that will make you balance and always be good to your wife.
هناك شعر معروف يقال وإذا الحبيب أتى بذنب واحد جاءت محاسنه بكل شفيع.
And there's some lines of poetry, the meaning of which is that if the beloved person does one sin, then all of the good deeds that they have or good qualities will come to intercede.
نكمل.
نعم. عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه قال استأذن أبو بكر رضي الله عنه على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسمع صوت عائشة عالية فلما دخل تناولها ليلطمها وقال ألا أراك ترفعين صوتك على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحجزه وخرج أبو بكر مغضبا فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يترضاها وقال حين خرج أبو بكر كيف رأيتني أنقذتك من الرجل. ده الصحابي نعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه. This hadith is صحيح authenticated by Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi رحمه الله في كتابه صحيح المسند. The Sahabi Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said Abu Bakr asked permission to enter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he heard Aisha radiallahu anha raising her voice. When he entered, he wanted to slap Aisha, meaning his daughter Abu Bakr, to discipline her because of raising her voice at the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started stabbing Abu Bakr from slapping his daughter until Abu Bakr went out while he's mad. He's angry with his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha because she raised her voice. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started pleasing Aisha radiallahu anha, trying to make her happy. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't you see how I defend you from the man? He didn't say it, your father. He said from the man. Because Abu Bakr, he acted manhood. He disciplined his daughter. How she raised her voice while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, not only he's patient with what made Abu Bakr get angry, but also he's defending his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. Not only physically, but also emotionally. He's trying to make her happy, to please her, telling her what you see. How many of us may do that for their wives? Okay. Another hadith showing.
أظن هذا هنا فائدة وهي ذاك الله خير لو أنك نبه عليها أن المرأة إذا سعيت في إصلاحها فإنك ما تسعى في إصلاحها أمام أبويها أو أمام إخوتها.
Here's a benefit here to mention, and that is that a woman, if you want to correct her, then you don't do that in front of her parents or in front of her brothers.
لأن هذا لعله يشعر بأنك لا تحترمها.
Because it can make it seem like you don't honor her or respect her.
فإنه ما يكون بينك وبينها يكون سرا.
So that which you have between each other, you keep it private.
وهذا يكون أقرب إلى إصلاحها.
And this is closer and more rightful to be a means of rectification.
وأمام أبويها تدافع عنها.
And in front of her parents, then they'll defend her. In front of her parents, then you defend her.
وتثني عليها.
And you praise her.
هذا فيه إصلاح لها.
This is correcting her, rectifying her.
لأن نفسها تحدثها.
Because her soul speaks to her, she talks to herself.
انظري كيف أكرمك أمام والديك.
Look how he honored you in front of your parents.
فأكرميه وأصلحي خطأك.
Okay, then rectify yourself and be nice to him.
وأرفق ما كان في شيء إلا زانه.
And gentleness never is put in something except for it makes it beautiful and good.
لا تهين زوجتك أمام أحد.
Do not belittle your wife in front of anybody.
نعم.
أحسنتم شيخ. كذلك أيضا from also what shows the humbleness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and good ماذا treatment with his wife, good dealings with his wife عليه الصلاة والسلام. The hadith collected by Imam Bukhari from Anas رضي الله عنه who said فرأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يضع ركبته فتضع صفية رجلها على ركبتي حتى تركب. The Sahabi Anas said I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم put his knees down and Safiya, means his wife, put her foot on his knee until she got on. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to help his wife Safiya to go on the camel or whatever the transportation there. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to do so, he become like for her stairways or elevator. He prepared her knees, his knees sallallahu alaihi wasallam for her. So she step on him alaihi wasallam and she go up. This shows what? Humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kindness, respect, gentleness alayhi salatu wasalam. I add one hadith and I leave it for the other mashayikh.
كيف نجعلها الان؟
نعم
الان زوجتك كيف تفتح لها الباب السياره؟
Today similarly we can apply this. You open the door for your wife, the car door for your wife, for example. This is how you apply it today.
وتتاكد انها صعدت او تمشي بالسياره وهي لسه رجلها خارج.
You make sure she gets all the way in. You don't drive off and she's hanging out the car.
يقول شيخنا الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب العقيل رحمه الله تعالى.
الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب العقيل رحمه الله he says.
قال بعض الناس من شدة يعني جفائهم.
Some people because of their extreme rudeness.
أنك إذا رأيته يفتح السيارة لزوجته الباب.
If you see him open the door for his wife.
تقول هذه يا إما زوجة جديدة
you say this is either a new wife
أو السيارة جديدة
or a new car.
وبعد ذلك ما يهمه شيء.
After that he doesn't have no care.
تفضل.
الله أحسنت الشيخ عبد الرحمن. أيضا so yes when Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did that for his wife then at least what should we do is to open the car for her, the door for her, to make sure she ride on. Don't drive the car while she is still trying to. Barakallahu fiq. Also another hadith collected Imam Tirmidhi wa lafdhu lahu wa akhrajahu aidan Imam Ahmad rahimahullah fil Musnad wa Nasa'i fi Sunan al-Kubra an Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu balagha Safiyata radiyallahu anha anna Hafsata radiyallahu anha qalat bintu yahudiyyin fabakat fadakhala 'alayha an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa hiya tabki faqala ma yubkik qalat li Hafsatu inni bintu yahudiyyin faqala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وإنك لابنة نبي وإن عمك لنبي وإنك لتحت نبي ففيما تفخر عليه ثم قال اتقي الله يا حفصة رضي الله عنهن جميعا. In this hadith Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه said that Safiya received the information that Hafsa رضي الله عنها said about her she is the daughter of a Jew. Safiya bint Huyay, her father is a Jew. So Hafsa radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet, the daughter of Umar, she said her father is a Jew. Means to defame her. So when she received this information, Safiya radiallahu anha, she cried. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered to her while she's crying. He asked, what's the matter with you? She said, Hafsa said to me that I'm a daughter of a Jew. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, wa innaki libnatu nabi, you are a daughter of a prophet. Wainaki, you are a daughter of a prophet, and your uncle is a prophet, and you are married to a prophet. What does that mean? The ulama, they say, it may mean one of two. You are a daughter of a prophet, means your father is Prophet Harun, and your uncle is Prophet Musa, and you are married to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All it means is your father is Prophet Ishaq, and your uncle is Prophet who? Ismail. And you are married to a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is she proud of? What is she proud of then? اتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا حَفْصَ أَوْ حَفْصَ فِيرْ اللَّهِ. So now the lesson is, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, he make his wife Safiya come down, he give her peace of mind. Who you are related to these great people. You are married to a prophet. How someone may look you little, and you are in this high position. Then after that, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Aisha to fear, Hafsa to fear Allah. So in here too, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgive Hafsa radiallahu anha. And also he comfort. And he make Safiya feel happy and peace. And by that, he put peace between them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he forgive his right. This is one picture, one image, how he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, handle that issue, arises, and said the haq, and at the same time, make peace between his two wives.
Jazakallah khair, barakallah fiik.
Hadith wahid, ya shaykh, am nukbir.
أظن قد أخذت
أبشر الله يحفظك جزاكم الله خيرا. Many things really to say about the good dealings of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم towards his wives, but the point is just to get an example. So we brothers, we have to these things we have to reflect on, and we have to humble ourselves في سبيل الله من تواضع لله رفعه. Whoever humble himself for the sake of Allah, Allah raises him levels. Some brothers, to be honest, they don't even talk to their wives. Wallahi. Not only that, they don't allow their wives to talk to somebody else. If you talk to your family, you divorce. If you talk to another person, you divorce. So she become mother having stress and lot of problem. Some of them, if she talk, he doesn't allow her to complete. Akhi, let your wife talk. Let she express. Let she say. Listen attentively, don't cut her off. Make sure she finish. This is a part of the cure and treatment. After she finish, then address. I have a lot of things to say here, but I can't say time. It's not enough. Wallahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam. Barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Jazakallah khair, barakallah fiik. Ahsantum. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
كان لطيفا مع زوجاته.
He was very subtle and kind.
و
gentle.
كان يتزين.
And he would adorn
لهن.
He would adorn himself for them.
وقد حبب إليه الطيب.
And perfume was made beloved to him.
وله من الأعمال في التلطف إليهن والتزين إليهن ما ينبغي أن يقف عليها عليه المسلم.
And he has many deeds that he would do in his house, to be kind and gentle with them, to be nice to them, and adorning himself, making himself appear good, in a good appearance in front of them. It's incumbent for a Muslim to learn about these things.
فقد قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف.
Ibn Abbas and he mentioned رضي الله عنهما that they have the rights that's similar like that's upon them in good.
قال إني أحب أن أتزين لها كما أحبها أن تتزين لي.
He said, radiallahu anhuma, that I love, I like to adorn myself and look good for her the way that I like for her to look good for me.
نريد من الشيخ حسين حفظه الله تعالى السامعين جميعا أن يذكر لنا بعض الوقائع التي كانت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع زوجاته حتى نقتدي بذلك وتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
Well, yeah, Sheikh Hussein, to mention some examples of this gentleness and kindness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home with his wife, radiallahu anhun.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin, amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, as we know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a very best example in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us. So that's why we always call people to take the footstep of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say that in all entire life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we practice the sunnah, but when it comes to the marriage life, we have a lot of shortcomings. So barakallahu fikum. We want to just remind the brothers. The point is what is not a wife to request based on what they hear here. The wife to request that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this, so you have to. Or the husband to come to his wife and say, we heard from the lecture the husband, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to his wife do this and this he's supposed to do. It's not like that. Each one of us, we do our responsibility, our part. So that the marriage life to be upright. So from the right, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life is busy to teach people, leading the ummah, but still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his marriage life, he is very best example for us. So from that, we see a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, narrated, she said, كُنْتُ أَتَعَرَّقُ الْعَظْمَ أَيْ أَخُذُ اللَّحْمَ مِنَ الْعَرَقِ بِأَسْنَانِ. I used to take a flesh, a meat from the bone by my teeth. I bite from the bone and I put it down. And some narration says, I hand it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, وَأَنَا حَائِضٌ, while I am in menses. So فَعُطِيهِ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ, and I give it to the Prophet, I pass it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَيَضَعُ فَمَهُ فِي الْمَوْضِعِ الَّذِي فِيهِ وَضَعْتُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he received it from her, and she say, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he put the same spot, I put my mouth on the bone, and he bite the flesh. وَأَشْرَبُ الشَّرَابَ فَأُنَاوِلُهُ فَيَضَعُ فَمَهُ فِي الْمَوْضِعِ الَّذِي كُنْتُ أَشْرَبُ مِنْهُ. And I drink a drink from the glass and I pass it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put his mouth the same spot I put on the glass and he drink the drinks. رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ وَصَحَّهُ الْأَلْبَانِي. So in this hadith, brothers, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was treating his wife kindly, how he is showing to his wife his kindness. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dealing with her while she is in menses. As we know, most of the time the women, when they are in their menstrual period, their behavior changes and they have hardships. So that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is trying to show her his kindness, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealing with her nicely. While at that time, the Jews, they distance from her when she is in menses. That's the society was. When a woman is in menses, the Jews, they stay away from her entirely. They separate their bed. They separate their all utensils. The way what she uses is separate than what they use. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing to his
najasataha, najasat jismiha.
Naam, because they consider her
that she is not, she is impure when she is in menses. So they don't touch her, they don't get close to her until she be clear from the menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this situation, he is showing his kindness. So how many of us taken this example from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the way how they drink, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink from the same glass and the same spot she put her mouth on the glass. And maybe some people, they never do it from the beginning to the end. Maybe some of them when they were new marriage. And then after that, never do it. So we're supposed to be kind to our wives and dealing nicely, especially when they are in the hardship. Naam. So the next hadith, related to this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إنك لن تنفق نفقة تبتغي بها وجه الله إلا أجرت إلا أجرت عليها. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give us another lesson. He says, you, whenever you spend any kind of you spend, you seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get ajr for it. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, حتى ما تجعل في في امرأتك, even what you put in the mouth of your wife. Like when you eat with your wife, you take a food and put in her mouth, you get ajr for that too. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us how to deal with our wife and to deal with them kindly.
يعني وإن كان هذا فيه مداعبة لزوجتك لكن الله يؤجرك عليها. يعني فيه حظ لك وأيضا فيه أجر.
And here, even if you're, you know, playing around, joking, having fun with your wife in this manner, putting the food in her mouth, you feel you have fun and enjoy yourself doing that, and you get a reward.
Naam. There is another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, "كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد." She said, I used to take a shower, I and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from one vessel, we take a shower together. And she said, من إناء واحد أبادره ويبادرني. He raced with me and I raced with him not to finish the water. No. And then she said, حتى يقول دعي اتركي أي اتركي لي وأقول أنا دع لي. So when we take a shower from one vessel, we both of us rest to take the water, and at the end the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, please leave for me some, and I say leave for me some, and we used to rest. And of course each individual of us, we can take shower by ourselves, but when it comes to this, it shows us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is taking a shower with his wife and he racing with her so that not to finish the water one before another one. So he's showing his kindness to her, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealing nicely with his wife.
وهذا يدلنا على أنه ليس هذا من العيب.
And this is showing us that this is not blameworthy.
لأن ما فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو قمة الأخلاق.
Because what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the peak of good manners.
هو الميزان للآداب والأخلاق.
He's the scale for manners and etiquette.
وهذا فيه رد على من يقول أن الرجل لا يجوز له أن ينظر إلى عورة زوجته.
And this is a refutation for those who claim that it's not allowed for a man to look at the aura of his wife.
كما يقوله بعضهم.
Like some of them they claim.
نعم. وهذا أيضا يعني يدل على تواضع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحبه لزوجاته رضي الله عنهن.
This shows us likewise the humbleness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his great love for his wives.
كما ذكر الشيخ حسين جزاه الله خير. نعم.
There is another hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. In this bab, in this issue, we can see a lot, many hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealing nicely with his wife, treating them nicely, and showing kindness. From that, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he called her Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, Ya Aish. And he was trying to show her the love. And even when he called her name too, that from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said one time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Aish. Her name is Aisha. He called her, Ya Aish. هذا جبريل يقرئك السلام. هذا جبريل يقرئك السلام. This is Jibril. He's saying السلام عليكم to you. He's saying salam to you. And she say, وعليه السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته ترى ما لا أرى. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. You see something what I don't see. And in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called her, even when he called her name. And sometimes people call their wives in different rude way, or hey you, or something like that. You know, it's not appropriate way to call their wife. When you see the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only dealing kindly with his wife and showing love, sometimes even when he called their name, to make her feel happy with that.
هذا يسموها إيش يعني اسم دلع
ترقيم
اسم دلع واسم أيضا نيكنيم
تصغير لا
يعني الاسم هذا يا عائش
ترقيم
هذا يعني يدلعها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إيش سموه أنتم
ترقيم ترقيم هذا في باب النداء
لا إحنا نريد بالإنجليزي الآن نيكنيم ولا
يعني but it's a nickname but it's a erasing part of the letter instead of يا صاحب you say يا صاحي يعني oh my beloved companion
لماذا
يعني to show love نعم. to be gentle to be kind this is the way of calling
يعني يناديها بأحبي ما تنادى به جزاك الله خير
also to call يا عائشة but يا عائش يعني to take the last letter off to make it smaller and this is like in Arabic language a means of being very gentle and kind and showing love showing love it's a way يعني بأسلوب العربي
جزاك الله خير
نعم there is another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he show kindness and love to his wife even on the field when they are outside one time he was with his companions Aisha radiallahu anha was with him and when they are on their way She said, خَرَجْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فِي بَعْضِ أَصْفَارِهِ I went out with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in some of his journey. وَأَنَا جَارِيَةٌ I was younger at that time. لَمْ أَحْمِلِ اللَّحْمَ I was not heavy at that time. وَلَمْ أَبْدُنْ فَقَالَ لِلنَّاسِ تَقَدَّمُوا The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, go ahead, forward, go forward, and they stay back. After a while, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after they go a little bit farther, he told to Aisha radiallahu anha, ta'ali usabiquki. Let's race now, running. He called to Aisha radiallahu anha to race with him, running. Fasabaqtuhu, fasabaqtuhu. And we race, And I beat him. I come ahead of him. فسكت عني حتى إذا حملت اللحم وبدنت ونسيت خرجت معه في بعض أصفاره. And now after a long time, I was a little bit gain weight, and you know, then. We left another time as a traveler. When we traveled, he did the same thing. He told the companions to go farther. And then he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told her to race again. And she said, I forget about it, about the first one. So I tried to race him. This time he beat me. And she said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, حتى أسابق فسابقت فسبقني فجعل يضحك وهو يقول هذه بتلك. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he beat her, she said, he beat the race, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this one equal to the other one. So we drawn. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is showing his kindness with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, even with racing to run. Even though in this case, barakallahu fikum, we don't do it publicly. In public, something that shows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions to go farther, which means nobody see them. So now, you know, we have to pay attention on our dealing with our wives. When what we supposed to make it in public, what we supposed to make it in private. So barakallahu fikum, this shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is dealing nicely with his wife until he rests with his wife running. So this shows us always we have to be kind and deal with them nicely. Sometimes, you know, play with them. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith, when they talk, even he listened to them. This is from his manner, and he replied to them. This is from Aisha again. She talked about the women's in Jahiliyyah talking about their husband, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sat and listened to her until she finished all the story. 11 women, they talking about their husband. And she tell the story, he was sitting and listening to her. So that he is showing kindness. At the end, from those 11, one of them, she was praising her husband. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she called it Abu Zar'. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tell to Aisha radiallahu anha, I will be the same person like the one nice one, Abu Zar'. So this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always deal nicely with his wife. He never cursed. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, he never beat a woman. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. So some of the men, they show that their power with the woman. They beat them. They don't show love. They don't show kindness. Always harsh. This is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The nice way, to deal nice way, when they talk, to listen to them, and then show kindness. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to follow. And on top of this, I would add another one, and then I'll finish with that, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, when
Before you finish, Hussein, let me add something to here, because it's very interesting. Jazakallahu khairan. First of all, alhamdulillah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam racing with his wife when she was young, and then raising with his wife after some time. He remembers, alayhi salam, first one, he defeated her, sallallahu alayhi salam, however you say it. And she defeated him, alayhi salam, meaning she sabaqatu, alayhi salam. She reached to the goal before him.
She beat him?
Yeah. Okay, she beat him, alayhi salam. And then after time, he remembers, alayhi salam, but she doesn't remember because time passed. And then he called her to race with him. This time he beat her, alayhi salam. He smiled, he laughed. He said, this is for that. Hadith bitilka, this is for that. So basically, Prophet said he's playing with his wife, making her happy, alayhi salatu wasalam. As the Sheikh mentioned also, he, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, used to show love to her. Rather, he was asking how Aisha radiallahu anha to him. He said she's the woman he loved the most. How many from the brothers who say to their wife they love them? Especially some cultures, some people, they never say to their wife they love her. They don't. I ask one of them, Akhi, you know in the religion you love someone, you say I love you. And you know even this culture here in the US, man says to his wife, I love you. Do you say that? He laughed and remained silent. Then he said, I say that in my heart. I say that in my heart. How do you say in your heart? Why you don't say in your tongue? So this show love, appreciation, kindness, gentleness to your wife. And this is the honor. It's not dishonor. Last thing to add to this, which I also mentioned, listening to your wife, one of those doctors is female, Saudi PhD, who specializes in these family matters. I read this from one of the long time ago. She gave an example, even though this is out of topic, she gave an example how two men, they, because of how they react, how they treat their wives, one, he destroyed his marriage life, and one, his wife loved him so much. She gave an example. She said, a man comes from work, very tired, he wanted to rest. His wife comes to him, telling him something he sees, he considers it to be unnecessary. It's not actually important. One of them, because he's tired, and he doesn't see this is an important matter to address actually, especially this time he's tired. So he just said to her, look, it's not something you should worry about. It. Leave it, it's not important. And Jenny lay down. That's one. The other one, he listened, he sit her, he looked at her, he listened, he showed her interest, what she's saying, until she finished everything she says. When she finished, he says the same thing the previous man said, it, nothing more. The first one, who the man just gave the conclusion, he didn't listen to her, she considered that this man is disrespecting her. He doesn't care about her feeling. He is not even patient to hear from her side. On the other hand, she says he loves me. He cares about me. He is patient with me. And what he said is right, actually. But he was patient with me. So he said, she said, these two houses totally are going to be different. Why? One of them show his wife respect and listen and gentle and easy and giving the right conclusion, while the other one didn't give her a chance. So give time to your wife, listen to her concern, alhamdulillah, and give her the right thing. Wallahu a'lam. Sorry, Sheikh.
أيضا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اعترف لها بأنها فازت.
And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he admitted to her that she won one time.
يعني وليس عيبا أن زوجتك تفوز عليك.
And it's not blameworthy that your
وتكون
wife
أفضل منك في أمور.
Wins or that she's better or more virtuous than you, better or more virtuous than you in certain things.
يقولون لا يعرف الفضل لأهله إلا أهله.
The people, no one knows the virtue of others except for the people of virtue.
ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بمشورة أم سلمة في الحديبية.
For this reason in Hudaybiyah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took the advice of Umm Salama, consultation from her.
فاعترافك بالفضل لزوجتك ولأولادك وجزاكم الله خيرا استفدت منكم أنا استفدت منك هذا شيء طيب.
To confess to your wife or to your children that they have virtue over you, that oh, I tell your wife I benefited from you a lot in this particular thing. This is good.
والشيء الذي أنت تظهره لها هي ستظهره لك.
And whatever you show to her, then she's going to show that to you.
والآن معنا الشيخ سمير حفظه الله تعالى أبو عبد الرحمن يذكر لنا ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الاهتمام بتعليم زوجاته رضي الله عنهن وهذا أمر مهم جدا. تفضل.
So now we discuss some points about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he gave great care and concern for teaching and educating, cultivating his wives. So we want to summarize the best that we can. So we want to summarize the best that we can. We begin with a narration that's in Sunan Abi Dawood, and other than that, likewise from the books of Hadith. From the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, قَرَأَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he read this verse, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ, that it is he who has revealed to you, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the book, and in it there are آيات محكمات, هُنَّ أُمُ الْكِتَابِ, يعني that there are verses in the book that are the fundamentals of the book that are very clear and direct to the meaning. وأخر متشابهات, and there are others that are unclear in their meaning. فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه, and as for those who have deviation in their hearts, then they follow that which is unclear from it. ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء التأويل, in order to search for fitna and trials and to misinterpret the verse. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recited this verse until the end, and then she says رضي الله عنها, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا رأيتم الذين يتبعون ما تشابه منه فأولئك الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهُ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her now, after reciting this verse, that if you find those people, if you see those people who follow the unclear verses, and the verses that are unclear, carrying more than one meaning and the likes like this, they're not direct in the meaning that they indicate, then you should know that these are those whom Allah has named them in His book. Any meaning that these are people who have deviation in their hearts. So therefore you must be cautious from them. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's very diligent to teach his family the proper manner of understanding the Quran, and likewise the methodology of the people of truth in dealing with the text of the Quran, and the methodology of the people of falsehood. And in this manner, by learning the descriptions of the people of truth and the descriptions of the people of falsehood, the things become clear. So there are people who understand the Quran and the verses in the book of Allah and the Islamic text in general. They understand them in a particular manner. Anything that's unclear or could carry more than one meaning, they refer these verses back to the texts that are very clear, and they understand it in one light. And this is the proper manner and the way of the people of truth. Anything that could carry one or more meanings, then this verse is considered mutashabih, any meaning that's unclear. So how do we understand which is the correct meaning? Which one is intended? Because there's an intended meaning, and there's a meaning that's not intended. So the intended meaning is the one that's in accordance with the clear verses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching his wife this, that the people of truth, they understand the unclear text and they refer them back to the understanding of the clear text in order for all of the texts to become clear. As for people who have deviation in their heart, as for the misguided, as for the innovators, as for the people who seek tribulations and trials, then their methodology is that they would leave those clear verses and they'll go to the unclear verses and interpret them according to their desires. So to summarize the benefit here that we want to take, no doubt this narration has many benefits, and this verse here likewise has many benefits. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is diligent to teach his family the fundamentals of the religion and to clarify the truth for them, and likewise the falsehood. And it's incumbent to learn about falsehood just like it's incumbent to learn about the truth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would teach he would clarify the truth and likewise clarify the falsehood. Because if a person does not learn about falsehood and the descriptions and characteristics of the people of falsehood, he'll be deceived by them. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the people of falsehood, this is from their main characteristics. If you see them, they're the ones that Allah mentioned in His book. So therefore, be cautious from them. Don't go around them. So this is a great cultivation and education for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for his family. And the people of knowledge, they say عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكَنْ لِتَوَقِيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. That I learned about evil not for the sake of evil, but in order to be cautious from it. Because those who do not know the difference between evil and good, they'll fall into it. So this is an example of that, and this was even seen later on in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever the Khawarij appeared, and Mu'adha radiallahu anha, she came to Aisha radiallahu anha, asking her about why do the women make up the fast in Ramadan but they don't make up the salat. So this was from the extremism that the Khawarij they were known for in those days. And the Khawarij in those days, they came from a land called Harura, and they're known as Haruriyya, as has come in the text that we read and in these classes. So Aisha radiallahu anha, whenever she heard this, she said, Haruriyya tun anti? Are you from the Khawarij? And Mu'adha, she says, No, I'm not from them, I just want to know the ruling. So the point is that whenever we see the signs of deviation, learning the descriptions of the people of deviation, the way of the people of truth, the way of people of falsehood, the methodology of the people of truth, the methodology of the people of falsehood, the descriptions of the people of the sunnah, the descriptions of the people of bid'ah, now we'll be able to identify them. So therefore we'll be able to benefit in a good manner. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cultivated his companions on, even more specifically his family and his home sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we have another narration collected by Abu Dawud likewise, and other than that, as well from the Haditha Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, قُلْتُ لِلنَّبِي sallallahu alaihi wasallam حَسْبُكَ مِنْ صَفِيَّةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. That Aisha, she told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is sufficient about Safiyyah, this and that. One of the narrators, Musaddad, he says, تَعْنِي أَنَّهَا قَصِيرًا. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she's saying something about Safiyyah. She says, it's enough that she's this and that. And it's mentioned that what she means is that she's short. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen this error here, this mistake, and then he corrected her. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَةً لَمُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you just mentioned a statement that if it was mixed with the water of the ocean, it would corrupt it. Any meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he seen errors or mistakes or things that are not right, whether they're intentional or unintentional. And Aisha, she's not intentionally doing this in the likes like this, but the point is that whenever mistakes are occurred, they're not left. It wouldn't let his great love for Aisha radiallahu anha and his respect for her cause him to not reprimand her or to teach her or to correct her. So whenever she said this thing about another wife, or that she's short and the likes like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded her, clarifying that this is a dangerous statement and that it's not proper. And then likewise, she says, radiallahu anha, hakaytu lahu insanin. That one time I mimicked a person for him. I mimicked a person for him. To mimic them, meaning to do what they do, to move how they move, or to speak in the tone that they speak. This is called mimicking. Yani muhakat. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma uhibbu anni hakaytu insanin wa anna li kada wa kada. He said, I do not like to mimic anyone, even if they gave me this and this. So the point is that even in the affairs with regards to, for example, backbiting or speaking about others and their absence, or belittling others, or looking down on others, or the likes like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would correct them, he would direct them, he would advise them, he would guide them, he would teach them. And this is from the beautiful way. In our homes, we don't let these things slide. Our homes should be not homes of backbiting and gossiping and talking about this one and that one and talking about this family and that family and what so-and-so did and so-and-so did, so on and so forth. Rather, these things should be stopped. The spouses, they should cooperate upon putting an end to this. This is not something that's good. Rather, talking bad about somebody, that statement, if it was mixed with the ocean, then it would corrupt it. You're indicating how foul it is, and it's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have to work upon raising and cultivating our family and upon that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a benefit here that I want to mention, barakallahu fikum, that you could derive it from all of these affairs. And that is that there's no home that's the perfect home. There's no household that has no problems whatsoever. There's no household that has no issues or disputes or problematic affairs never happening. Rather, these things occur. But the point is that we want to learn how to deal with them. So it's not about not having any problems at all, but it's about how do you address them. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would address these problems in the best manner. He would correct these affairs in the best way. He would handle them with knowledge and wisdom, with gentleness, in the manner that would cultivate and bring about goodness. Some people, they handle problems in their homes in a manner that's destructive. They destroy the character of their children or the personality and the feelings and emotions of their wife until everybody is belittled in the home and scared of the father. Then whenever the father comes in the house, they're scared and walking like they're on ice or on glass because they don't know when he's going to when he's going to pop off and when he's going to snap, when he's going to yell, when he's not going to be happy in the life like this. This was not the way of the messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather he dealt with them in the best way, when they're good, when they're right and when they're wrong. He'll correct them and direct them and advise them until the fact that they love him. Whenever he would come in his house, Fatima radiallahu anha, she would stand up and rush to him to kiss his hand and greet him and sit with him whenever he comes. And whenever she would come to the house, then he would do the same thing for her. They love each other. It was a household of love and respect and of tawheed and sunnah. So this is something that we have to take as an example in our homes of the sunnah, correcting the problems with wisdom, correcting the problems with knowledge, correcting the problems with good intention, correcting the problems with patience and forbearing, looking for the right time to correct. Now, sometimes your wife might make a mistake. At that time when she's hot, it may not be the best time to correct her. You just overlook that one. You overlook that one for some time, and then whenever the situation calms down, you can correct her in a good way. And many times this will bring about fruits of goodness and not the bitter fruits of problems and discord. I have one more narration, similarly like this. And this one is in a Bukhari Muslim, also from the Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. That one time some Jews, they passed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the Jews from their ways is that they would yuharrifuna kalima mawadhihi, that they would distort words from their proper place. They would twist their tongues with their words. So they came by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pretending to come in peace. And they said, Assalamu alaykum ya Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum ya Muhammad. Without the lam. Assam. Assam yani al-maut. Al-maut. So they're coming like they're saying, may peace be upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in reality they're saying, may death be upon you. But they're coming and pretending to be doing good. But Aisha radiallahu anha, because of her cleverness and how bright she was, she caught on very quickly, very quickly. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he caught on. But the way that he dealt with it was the proper way, because these are people of ignorance. These are people of deviation. These are people who killed prophets before and the likes like this. So what do you expect from them? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded, wa alaykum. Wa alaykum. And upon you likewise. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she became upset, and she had ghayran, she had great love and honor, and she became hot about the situation. She said, "Wa alaykum wasam wa la'na," may death and the curse of Allah be upon you. Yani, to emphasize this, that she heard what that, and she defended the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the point from this here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, mahalan ya Aisha, take it easy, Aisha. And then she said, but did you not hear what they said? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but did you not hear what I said? I said, wa alaykum. And he did the same thing for you. And he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that their dua will not be accepted and our dua will be accepted. So there's no need to get all riled up about these people of deviation and to respond the way that they respond and to treat the ignorant with ignorance and the likes like this. Rather, we treat the ignorance with forbearance and we get away from them and avoid them in the best manner so that we don't bring about more harm. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching. And then he said, Ya Aisha, inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana, wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shana. In other words, likewise, inna Allah yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kulli. That gentleness is never used in anything except for it makes it beautiful, and it's never stripped from anything except for it makes it ugly. And one wording, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, indeed Allah, He loves gentleness in every affair, in every affair. So this is from the cultivation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and dealing with deviance, and dealing with character faults and mistakes with the tongue and the likes like this. And the tongue is something that's dangerous, especially amongst the women. So this is something that the husbands, they have to check, they have to correct, any with a good admonition and with good speech and a good manner and in the proper time and the likes like this. And also dealing with the evil or the harms or the problems of the people, we deal with them with gentleness and avoiding the greater problems. So from the benefits of this is that whenever we solve problems in our house, we have to strive to do that with knowledge of the sunnah and try to make the problems, to alleviate them entirely or to minimize them and not to do things that cause them to grow or become worse. Allah knows best. Wa hadha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Al-islah ma'a al-hub.
The Shaykh, he says, that you correct people along with love.
إذا عرف الذي تريد أن تصلحه أنك تحبه وتحب الخير له قبل منك.
The one that you want to correct him and advise him, if he knows that you love him, then they're going to accept from you.
ولذلك إن الله يعطي بالرفق ما لا يعطي بالشدة.
For this reason, Allah he gives and brings about by way of gentleness that which He does not give or bring about by way of harshness.
كم من إنسان أصلح الله عز وجل أولاده بالرفق.
How many people, how many individuals Allah had rectified their children because they were gentle with them.
وكم أناس أبعدوا أولادهم وأهلكوهم بالشدة.
And how many people they distanced their children away from them. They destroyed them and they caused them to deviate and likes like this because of their harshness.
ولذلك ينبغي على أهل السنة أن ينتبهوا لمثل هذه الأمور.
So it's incumbent for the people of the Sunnah to pay attention to these affairs.
وأن تربية الأبناء والزوجة وما يكون في البيوت أن هذه عبادة.
And that cultivating the children and teaching the family and that which happens in the homes, these affairs they're from actions of worship.
والعبادة تحتاج إلى إخلاص ومتابعة.
And worship it requires sincerity and to be in accordance with the Sunnah.
والله الذي يهدي من يشاء.
And Allah, He's the one who guides whom He wills.
أختم بما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الغيرة على زوجاته.
He says, that we will close with some mention of examples of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, of his غيرة, of his warm love and jealousy and protection that he had for his wives.
العرب كانت تقول الذي لا يغار حمار.
The Arab, they would say, the one who does not have this protective jealousy, he's a donkey.
لابد أن يكون هنا غيرة لكن منضبطة.
You have to have غيرة, which is this warm love and respect, a jealousy type love and protection.
غيرة.
It has to be with principles, based upon principles, checked.
غيرة منبعثة من الحب.
غيرة that's proceeding from love.
وليس من الشك.
And not from doubts.
وسوء الظن.
And having bad thoughts about people.
والمرأة تحب الذي يغار عليها.
And a woman, she loves for a man to be have this proper jealousy for her.
ولكن لا تحب الذي يشك فيها.
But she doesn't like the one who's always doubting about her, suspicious about her.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سمع سعد بن عبادة رضي الله عنه.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he heard Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu,
ما قال في غيرته,
what is mentioned about his great ghayrah, his love and jealousy and protection for women.
في لو أنه وجد أحدا عند امرأته لا ضربه بالسيف غير مصفح ليس بعرضه وإنما بحده.
And he said that if I ever seen another man around my woman, I will strike him with the sword, meaning with the sharp part.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أتعجبون من غيرة سعد؟
Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, are you amazed at the غيرة of سعد؟
والله إني لأغير منه.
I swear by Allah, I have more غيرة than him.
والله أغير منا.
And Allah has more غيرة than all of us.
دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Aisha رضي الله عنها.
فوجد رجلا.
And he found a man.
فتقول أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها فرأيت الغضب في وجهه.
Aisha, she says رضي الله عنها, I seen anger in his face.
فقلت يا رسول الله هذا أخي من الرضاعة.
And so I said, O Messenger of Allah, this is my brother from breastfeeding.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا من إخوانكم.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, look, to, you know, look who are your brothers.
فإنما الرضاعة من المجاعة.
Because رضاعة, breastfeeding is only from hunger.
يعني هناك أحكام للرضاعة حتى يصل إلى الحرمة.
يعني because there
لابد أن يكون أقل من سنتين.
There's rulings with regards to breastfeeding. يعني for a person to be considered brother or sister, there's rulings. يعني it has to be before 2 years, for example.
وكذلك خمس رضعات.
Also five times. I mean, it would not be considered.
كما جاء في شرح هذا الحديث كما ذكر الحافظ ابن حجر وغيره أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أراد أن يبين لها انتبهي ما شك فيها وحاشاه صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكن أراد أن يبين لها أن هناك أحكام شرعية.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he wanted to clarify as has come in the explanation of this narration by Ibn Hajar رحمه الله فتح الباري that he's not doubting about her or suspicious about her but he wants to clarify that there are rulings here. You were saying that this is from breastfeeding your brother but there are rulings here so you got to make sure.
فإذا الإنسان لابد له أن يسأل من هذا من الذي دخل من الذي خرج.
So that one of us he has to ask when if somebody comes in who's that who came in the house who is that who's going out of our house and the likes like this.
أين تذهبين؟ أين؟
Where are you going? Ask the wife.
متى ترجعين؟
Where are you going? What time are you coming back?
لابد لأن الشيطان حريص.
Because you have to do this because the devil is diligent.
والإنسان هذه مسؤولية أمام الله عز وجل.
This is a responsibility a person has in front of Allah.
كما جاء في الحديث.
Like has come in the narration.
والرجل راع في بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته.
A man, he's a shepherd, a guardian in his house, and he's responsible for those under his care.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل على أم سلمة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to أم سلمة.
رضي الله عنها.
رضي الله عنها.
وإذا بمخنث عندها.
And there was a feminine man.
يعني المخنث هو الذي لا حاجة له. في النساء.
يعني the this type of person here is a man, but he doesn't have any desire for women.
وهذه ليست كلمة عيب.
And this is not a blameworthy statement.
وإنما هي ذكر صفة.
It's just a description.
وأطلقت بعد ذلك على من كان يعني عنده يعني أراد سوءا بأنه غير يريد أن يغير صفاته إلى امرأة. أو امرأة يعني تغير أو بالأصح رجل يريد أن يغير صفاته إلى امرأة أطلقت على ذلك إذا من إرادته ولكن في الأصل هي تطلق على من كان هذه صفته وليس من إرادته.
This word مخنث was originally used for a description of a man that didn't have any desires, sexual desires. He didn't have the sexual desires for women. But later on, it was used for to refer to men who changed their traits and characteristics to imitate women. But originally, it just means a man who didn't have any desire, sexual desire for women.
سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا المخنث يقول لأخي أم سلمة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم heard this man here saying this مخنث saying to the brother of أم سلمة.
وهي تسمعه.
While she's listening.
إذا فتحتم الطائف
if you open الطائف
نعم الطائف إذا فتحتم الطائف فأدلك على بنت غيلان
if you open conquer طائف
نعم الطائف
if you conquer طائف then I'll I will show you the daughter of so and so, Ghailan.
ووصفها بأنها تقبل بأربع وتدبر بثمان. يعني هذا صفة لجسمها.
And he described that whenever she comes, she's coming forward with four, and when she's leaving, she's going with eight. And this is the description of the curves on her body.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل هذا عليكم.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this one should never come to you, be around you.
لماذا؟ لأنه يعرف الوصف وله أيضا رغبة.
Because why? Because this person now he knows the description of a woman. Obviously, he also has a desire.
فإذا لابد من الغيرة على زوجتك على بناتك تنظر إلى لباسهن.
There must be a ghayra, yani this love, warm love and protection, jealous protection for your wives and for your daughters. You look what they're wearing, likes like this.
تنظر إلى الحجاب.
You look to her hijab.
وترغبهن في هذا الحجاب.
And you encourage them to learn the proper hijab.
الحجاب يحجب المرأة من النار قبل أن يحجبها من الناس.
The hijab it shields a woman from the fire before it guards them from the people.
وتكرم بنتك على استقامتها على الحجاب.
And you have to honor your daughter to and encourage her to be upright and steadfast upon the proper hijab.
وتشتري لها.
And you purchase for her.
الأشياء التي تكون ساترة.
The things that تنفق. That will cover her body properly. You spend.
فكما ذكر الشيخ حسين حفظه الله تعالى والسامعين جميعا المشايخ والإخوة جميعا أن كل ما تنفقه على أهلك صدقة.
Like Sheikh Hussein, he mentioned whatever anything you spend on your family is charity.
حتى إذا طلبت شيء من أمازون مثلا.
Even if she asks something from Amazon, for example.
وتقول لك أريد أن أشتري. تشتري لها.
If she says, I want to buy this or that.
وتحتسب هذا عند الله.
You buy it for her and you seek reward for that with Allah.
وهذه الصدقة أفضل من الصدقة في سبيل الله.
And this charity here is better and more virtuous than charity in the path of Allah.
لأنك تغنيهم بفضل الله عز وجل.
Because you suffice them. We don't have to ask others. Only by the grace of Allah عز وجل.
لا تجعلهم يذهبون إلى غيرك ليطلبون.
Don't make your family go to others seeking their needs.
أو ينظرون إلى شيء موجود عند غيرهن.
Or looking and desiring what others have.
وينظروا بأنهن أقل.
And they look to themselves like, oh, we have lesser. We don't have anything.
فالنفوس لها احتياجات ولها مطالب.
The people's souls, they have needs, they have requirements, things they look for, and they compare.
بالتي أحسن.
So you do it in a good way.
بالمعروف.
In a proper manner.
وإذا ما استطعت.
And if
you're not able, عندي الآن.
If you're not able to say, I have one, I don't have it right now.
كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would do.
يقول إذا جاءنا مال نعطيكم.
He said, if some money comes to us, we'll give it to you.
هكذا يكون إنسان.
This is how a person should be.
يكون لين.
Be kind, be soft, gentle.
كلمة طيبة صدقة.
A good word is a charity.
كل خلق حسن. أهلك أولى بذلك.
Every good conduct, your family has more right for
خيركم.
That. The best of you.
خيركم لأهله.
The best of you to his
وأنا
family.
وأنا خيركم لأهله.
And I'm the best of you قدوة. To my family. He's the role model.
أنت كذلك.
You should be likewise.
ما تأمر الناس وتنسى نفسك.
You don't order the people and forget yourself.
واعتقد بأن الله عز وجل يعوض الخير.
And you believe that Allah will recompense you with good.
ويصلح زوجتك وأولادك.
And that Allah will rectify.
بالنفقة عليهم والإحسان إليهم.
Allah will rectify your and correct your.
كلما امتثلت أمر الله.
By spending on them. Every time you apply the command of Allah.
الله عز وجل يعوض الخير.
Allah will bring about for you good.
في أهلك وفي مالك وفي ولدك.
And your family and your children and your wealth.
لا نكن يا إخوة سبب ل هدم بيوتنا.
We should not be the reason for destroying our homes.
وننظر بأن الحكمة ضالة المؤمن.
And we look to the fact that wisdom is the main aim of a believer.
أينما وجدها التقطها.
Wherever he finds it, he picks it up.
وتعلم.
And you learn. You have to learn.
من الناس الذين أهل الصلاح تعلم منهم.
Learn from the upright people. You learn their manners and their way.
وصاحب الطيبين.
And accompany the good people.
الذين أصلحوا أسرهم.
Those who rectified their families.
والذي تجد معاملته مع أبنائه طيبة.
And those who have good dealings with their children and the likes.
ولا تظن أن الأمور تمشي بالشدة ولا تمشي بالرفق.
And don't think that things are only gonna go down by, if you're harsh and rude and not never happen by gentleness.
الشدة في مكانها من الحكمة.
Putting harshness in its proper place is from wisdom.
لكن الأصل اللين.
But the origin is to be kind, gentle.
ولما تكون شديد.
And whenever you're harsh.
أظهر الحب.
You show love.
يعني مثل إنسان سقط في حفرة.
Like for example, a person who fell in a ditch.
وهو يعلم بأنه سقط في هذه الحفرة.
And he knows that he fell in the hole.
يريدك أن تخرجه.
He wants you to bring him out.
تأتي تلومه.
You're gonna come and blame him.
وتتكلم بكلام.
Be harsh.
يجرحه.
Start and criticize him.
أولا نخرجه.
First, bring him out of the hole.
ثم تقول له انتبه مرة أخرى.
And then you tell him, next time you gotta pay attention.
يا بني. انظر إلى لقمان.
My beloved son, look where you're going, like Luqman.
لقمان وهو ينصح ولده.
When he advises his child.
فإذا علم ولدك وعلمت زوجتك بأنك تحبهم يقبلون منك بإذن الله.
If your children know and your wife knows that you love them, they're going to accept from you.
نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلني وإياكم من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وأن يجزي المشايخ خير الجزاء على هذا البيان الطيب، وأن يجعل ما قالوه في موازين حسناتهم حسنات الجميع. والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنا مع عبد رسول محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والشيخ خليف عنده أيضا مداخلة.
أكرمك الله شيخ عبد الرحمن. الآن
أنتم أدرى بوقتكم.
جزاك الله خيرا. I just want to add one thing. جزاه الله خيرا شيخ عبد الرحمن العميسان. He's the one who has the idea to give talk. This was actually his talk. He's the one who was invited from his estate. But جزاه الله خيرا. He's the one who prepared the topic. He's the one who divided. جزاه الله خيرا. And how many topics now was addressed? 3 or 4? 4. Number 1, humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ to his wives. Number 2, easiness and gentleness of the Prophet ﷺ with his wife. Number 3, teaching of the Prophet ﷺ to his wives. Number 4, al-ghayra, Prophet ﷺ for his wives. This is just the 4, and none of these topics has been completed. We didn't mention anything related. Many of the ayat or ahadith relate to that specific topic. Let alone other angles. Just one example. Even though time is very late. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his way dealing with his wife is to try to please them. To make them happy with him. That they are happy with him. Such a way, subhanallah, he even alayhi salatu wasalam make promise he will not get close to, he will never use something Allah made lawful for him to please his wives. And you memorize the surah. All what has been mentioned mainly was a hadith. Now you memorize the ayah. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك. أو prophet, أو you prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. By the way, when we are addressing the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we shouldn't say Muhammad عليه وسلم. We said the prophet Muhammad, the messenger Muhammad. Allah addressed the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with prophethood, with messengerhood. يا أيها النبي, أو you prophet. يا أيها الرسول, أو messenger. Allah doesn't say to the prophet, أو Muhammad عليه وسلم. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nabiy, lima tuharrim? Ma halallahu lak? Why are you preventing from yourself that which Allah made lawful for you? Something Allah made lawful for you, you staying away from it? Tabtaghi mardat azwajik, seeking to please your wives? Seeking to please your wives? This is how Prophet ﷺ tried his best, his wife to be happy with him. To such extent, something Allah made lawful for him, I will never use it. I will never. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected his messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. But what this shows, that we should try to please our wives. to make us happy with us, with a condition. Mada? Not to make unlawful that which Allah make lawful, not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please them. Anything other than that, to try to please your wife, to make happy with you. As long as it's not sin. So this is just one angle, pleasing your wife, making her happy with you, buying clothes for her, giving her pocket money, talking to her. We ask Allah al-Kareem subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who apply what we hear of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, no doubt. Also, of course, tonight, Shaykh Abdul Rahman say also the wives should try to please their husbands. Tonight, the whole topic was for the women, how they should be treated. But as for the man and what he deserves, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Husband deserve more. This is the summary. If a man should be easy to his wife, she should be easy to him. He should respect her, she should respect him. He should love her, she should love him. He should be kind to her, she should be kind to him. And she obeys him in good. She doesn't challenge him, she doesn't belittle him, she doesn't burden on him. She does all this to make to Jannah, to make to paradise. She doesn't see obeying her husband as slaving her, as dishonoring her. Rather, it is an act of worship. So that's another topic. But barakallahu fikum, again, we know, we learn who our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. He is the Messenger of Allah, khairul bariyah, the best of the creation. This is how he treats his wives. And you only know a little bit about it. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa taslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive and have mercy upon the mashayikh, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Umaysan, Shaykh Abu Abdul Rahman Samir, Shaykh Hussein Isa, for their effort. And we ask Allah al-Karim to forgive us, all of us, and to give Jannatul Firdaus, bila adab wa la hisab, fa innahu wa al-wasi' al-ghani al-karim, wa sallallahu wa sallam, barak al-Nabi Muhammad, wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, jazakumullahu khairan.